You would please turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. This will be my text. You may want to keep a marker here. I'll be coming back to it. We're going to read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 26. As we read this, I will remind you that this is the Word of God. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She, wisdom, is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up, and the skies drip with dew. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and he will keep your right foot from being caught. Let's pray. Now, Lord, this morning we continue to look at wisdom, where a Christian should look for wisdom. Lord, certainly this lesson builds upon the previous two about the main source of wisdom for a believer is the Bible. It's the only infallible source of wisdom is the Bible. And Lord, we looked last week at the church being a source of wisdom. It doesn't replace the Bible, but it supplements the Bible. And then, Lord, this morning we're going to look at nature. We believe nature is your wisdom on display. So we ask you to use your word, speak to our hearts, open our minds to its truth. I pray. Amen. A sergeant in the 165th U.S. Infantry Regiment, Alfred Joyce Kilmer, was killed at the Second Battle of Marne in 1918 at the young age of 31. 5 years earlier, he had written this. Some of us had learned it in school. I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the sweet earth's flowing breast. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair, upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. Or I might add, sermons are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. As we've been discussing, we've been talking about a book called The Wisdom Pyramid by Brett McCracken, in which he lays out, using the food pyramid as an example, sources of wisdom for believers. Of course, the bottom of the pyramid is the most important. It's the Bible. It's the infallible source of wisdom. But also, we looked last week that because we're not infallible, we need the wisdom of the church to help keep us on track. Today, we're going to look at nature. Nature is wisdom on display. Now, I'm going to confess right off the bat, I'm not a nature lover. While back, the kids were at the house, my kids and grandkids, and they were talking about getting poison ivy. And I said, I've never had poison ivy. And one of my son-in-law said, you'd have to go outside first. He's right. I believe the greatest determining factor in how you see yourself and the world is it all by random chance or by design? Do you exist? Does the world exist? Does the universe exist by cosmic accident or God's creation? Morality, sexuality, gender, government, family, environmentalism, all take differing trajectories depending on whether there is a creator or not. Christianity teaches that creation reveals the wisdom and goodness of our Creator. It displays the glory of God. Nature is wisdom on display, not the wisdom of Mother Nature or Father Time, but the wisdom of God, our Creator. We need to read from God's two books. We need to read from God's two books. The first book is that God wrote is called General Revelation. The first book God wrote is called General Revelation. Look at Proverbs 3:19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps are broken up and the skies drip with dew. Scripture itself, the infallible source of wisdom, Scripture itself tells us that we can find wisdom by observing God's creative work. There's many examples of that in Scripture. I will only show you one of my favorites. Go to Proverbs 6, verse 6. Proverbs 6, 6 says, go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise. Which, having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provisions in the harvest. So the writer of Proverbs is saying, listen, if you have a trouble, if you're lazy, here's the solution. Look at how industrious the ants are and how it was a matter of their survival. Now, I learned this verse. I had memorized this passage when I was in college because it used to be, I can't speak, that was a long time ago, but it used to be there was nobody there that made you get your work done, right? You had to get it done or you got an F. So to motivate myself, I memorized this verse. But also because of the next verse. How long will you lay down, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. I worked my way through college back when you could do that. And I would work second shift at a boat factory, Sea Ray Boats. And then I would go to school in the morning. And that freshman year, we had Greek at 7 a.m. And I was working till 1 or 2 a.m. I needed this verse very much. Get out of bed, you sluggard. So I actually had it printed and put it on the foot of my bed so that I would read it every morning to make sure I got up in time. But the point is, we can learn from looking at nature. We can see God's wisdom when we look at nature. Go to the book of Job, just back towards your front of the Bible. Job chapter 12. Right in front of the book of Psalms is the book of Job. Job chapter 12, verse 7. But now ask the beasts, and let them teach you, and the birds of the heavens, let them tell you. Oh, speak to the earth, let it teach you. Let the fish of the sea declare to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? And whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Does not the ear test words and the palate taste its food? Wisdom is with aged men, with long life is understanding. Go back a little further towards your front to 1 Kings chapter 4. Verse 29. Solomon, wise King Solomon, often called the wisest man who ever lived, I don't know, but here's what we do know. 1 Kings 4:29 says, Now God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind like the sand that is on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezraite and Heman and Calco and Dadra the son of Mohol. And his fame was known in all the surrounding nations. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spoke of the trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that grows on the wall. He spoke also of the animals and birds and creeping things and fish. Men came from all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. So even the wisest man knew that he could learn from nature. Job tells us to learn. So let the fish speak to us. Let the birds of the air speak to us. There's something to learn there. Nature's glory is not an end unto itself. It's not a god, small g, to be worshipped. It's a theater, a canvas, a cathedral. But God's glory is always what is on display. Psalm 19:1. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. So we're to read from God's two books. The first book God wrote is called General Revelation. General Revelation refers to the general truths that be known about God through nature. We can observe it. Science and the Bible are not at odds. Christianity and science are not at odds. In fact, the roots of modern science go back to many tenets of Christianity. It has things to teach us. The Bible itself admits that we can learn from nature. But what we learn is that God is our creator, and he's a God of order. The second book that God wrote is called Special Revelation. The second book God wrote is called Special Revelation. Now, I realize that in systematic theology, did I miss a verse? I'm sorry. Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made so that they are without excuse. Now, what Paul is writing there in Romans is, it's just natural and normal to look at nature and wonder about God. Who made this? How does it happen? How does it function? That's general revelation. The second book God wrote is called Special Revelation. Now, I realize that in systematic theology, we refer to creation as the second book, okay? Because of the primacy of Scripture. The Bible is the book, the first book. So with systematic theology, we would start with the Bible and then say creation is the second book. But for our purposes here, since the first book God wrote was creation, we're going to say the second book here that God wrote was Special Revelation. Special revelation is how God has chosen to reveal himself through supernatural intervention. Through supernatural intervention. God created the earth, the natural processes, which we can study and observe and learn, the laws. But every once in a while, God would supernaturally intervene in his creation. We call this special revelation. We, of course, are primarily and particularly talking about the Bible when it comes to special revelation, which was the topic of the first sermon in this series. But the Bible wasn't the only way that God supernaturally spoke to people. Hebrews 1:1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. When it says in many portions and many ways, it's referring to the fact that God supernaturally intervened in human history. He spoke through different means. He spoke through dreams and visions and appearances, even occasionally animals. But that was all leading up to Jesus. That's all leading up to Jesus. In these last days, he speaks to us through his Son. Jesus, of course, is also supernatural. He was supernaturally conceived. Jesus supernaturally conceived as God's full revelation of his nature. He's the express representation of his nature. So God has revealed himself in creation, in the heavens. Yes, we understand it. In plant life, in the animals. Yes, God has given us an understanding of what he's like. But we really know what he's like in his Son. That is his full revelation. That is his full revelation. Jesus is God in the flesh. These other portions and ways have ceased with God's full revelation in the Bible. Just as we need to take time to learn from the Bible, we need to take time to learn from nature. Nature teaches us that we are not in control. We cannot stop nature from doing its thing. As much as we hate to admit it, we knew come November there'd be frost on the windshields. We may have been surprised that first day when I came out. For a week I've been saying, I'm going to put a scraper in the car. I didn't think about it until I had ice on the windshield. Then I forgot till the next morning when I had ice on the windshield, right? But we're not, I was surprised that it came on that day. But hey, we know in November it's going to start freezing, right? We know in April the flowers are going to start blooming. We know sometime this winter we'll get snow. We understand that. We know there will be summer. We can't do anything about that. We can't stop nature from doing its thing. We knew the sun was going to rise this morning. And we know it's going to go down this evening. By the way, this evening, about what, 5 o'clock? But what we learn from nature is that God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of confusion, but of order. Maybe we should spend less time looking at our screens and more time taking in the wonder of nature. Now, I started this sermon with a poem, which is unusual. I'm also going to end it with a poem. It's going to be up here on the screen. That poem, he claims to be a person of faith, but I do think there's a lot of scriptural wisdom in that poem, that perhaps if we spent more time thinking about the peace of the wild things, we'd be better off for it. God has not only given us a book that we can read and teach. He gives us a book that we can see and hear and smell and touch and taste. This book of nature that runs through our hands like warm sand, rinses over us like a cold mountain waterfall, trickles down our mouth like juice from a peach. Let's pray. Lord, we live in a society that pretty much focuses inward. If we have a free minute, we look at our phone. Not only do we look at screens at work, but often when we go home, we're looking at more screens. Part of that is our culture. This is what we do, but Lord, maybe it's not healthy for us. And Lord, I'm talking to myself. I will admit that. Perhaps we should spend more time outside. Perhaps our kids should play outside more. But Lord, I do think that you have given us the beauty of creation to show us your glory. And as we study your workings, we gain wisdom for our own selves. So Lord, we know that the infallible source of wisdom is the Bible. But Lord, we're not infallible. Therefore, we need the church to help us stay on track. We kind of need the church as guardrails to keep us from going off on tangents or error. And Lord, those no doubt are the two primary sources, but help us not to underestimate the wisdom of nature. Jesus used it as himself. Told us to look at the lilies. They don't toil or spin, yet you take care of them. The birds of the field, you feed. So Lord, give us wisdom that comes from outside ourselves. I pray. Amen.